Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah Daf Lamed, and we will begin on Daf Chof Tes Amid Beis at the Gemara. However, two introductory comments. We're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem later in our perek that Midaraisa outside of the Beis HaMikdash, the chiyuv to take the dalet minim is only on the first day of Sukkos, as the pasuk says, "V'lakachtum lechem b'yom harishon." In the Beis HaMikdash, the obligation was for all 7 days. However, Chazal were mesaken that the dalet minim should be taken on all the days of Sukkos, not only in the Beis HaMikdash, but even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Another introductory comment. The halacha is that certainly one may not steal from another person. However, if one does steal from another person, certainly he always has to return what he stole, or at least return the value of the item that was stolen. But under certain circumstances, the halacha is that the item stolen belongs to the thief. The thief is koina the item. The Gemara Masechet Bava Kamma discusses this, and there's a machlokes which will be relevant to our shiur today. At what point does it become the ganavs? One shita is that yiyush, when the owners of the item that was stolen come to despair and not believe that they will receive this item in return, that's when it becomes the thieves. Another shita holds that yiyush alone is not adequate, but what is required is both yiyush and shini rishus, that it should be transferred from one rishus, from one property to another, or shinui maisa, something that it has to undergo a physical change, and only then does it become the thieves. Says the Gemara, Kaposa Katani, our Mishnah, when it discusses the various disqualified lulavim, said that all of these lulavim, lulav hagozel, lulav hayovish, apostle, Mishnah indicates, Loshna b'yontiv rishon, v'loshna b'yontiv sheni. It makes no difference if it's the first day yontiv, where there's a chi of the raisa to take the lulav everywhere, or the rest of yontiv. There's a machloikis rishonim, how to understand yontiv sheni. The Rashba says that even in chutzlarts, that we keep 2 days yom tovim, the halachas of lulav, dalan minim, are that we're differentiating between the first day yontif and the rest of yontif, as we explained, the first day yontif being a chiv the raisa, the rest of yontif being a chiv the rabbanon. Says the Rashba that even in chutz laretz, the second day yontif, which is kept as yontif, as far as the dalan minim is concerned, it's considered like the rest of yontif, not like the first day of yontif. However, Tosfos and the Ravid disagree, and they say that once we in chutz laretz keep 2 days yontif, the halacha is that it makes that the dalan minim, the rules of the dalan minim for us on the first day yontif and the second day yontif are the same. So when the Gemara will try to differentiate here between Yontav Rishon and Yontav Sheni, for Jews in Chutz Laretz, it doesn't mean the second day Yontav, it means after the second day Yontav. So again, Loishna B'Yontav Rishon, Loishna B'Yontav Sheni, it makes no difference. These disqualifications apply for all 7 days. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Yavesh, it's understandable that a dry lulav is possible on any day of Sukkos, because Hadabinan, a lulav has to be hadar feleka, ela gozel, but a stolen lulav bishlam yontav rishon, we can understand the ksev lochem. The Torah writes that the lulav has to belong yours, l'kachtem l'chem, which is a din on the first day, yontif, mishalachem, that the lulav has to belong to you. El b'yontif sheni amayloi. Why on the other days of yontif does the lulav that's gozel, that doesn't belong to you, is apostle? So the Rishonim refer back to a machlokes that we discussed in the previous year. In the previous year, there was machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, why a lulav hayovish, a dried out lulav, is possible. Rashi learned because the Torah requires zekeli vanveyu, that we beautify the objects that we use for a mitzvah, and a lulav hayovish is lacking in zekeli vanveyu. But Tosfos learned, and actually our Gemara seems to indicate like Tosfos, that the issue is hadar. Ask the Rishonim, if the problem is zekeli vanvehu, so zekeli vanvehu we could say applies to all 7 days of yontif. Every mitzvah has to be done in a manner of zekeli vanvehu, and therefore if it's not, it's possible. However, according to Tosfos, that the disqualification of a lulav hayovish is hadar, ask the Rishonim, why would I think that hadar is different than lochem? That lochem only applies to the first day, and the din of hadar applies to all the other days. So Rishonim explain, hadar affects the lulav itself, and therefore we could say that it's a din that all 7 days the lulav has to be a hadar. On the other hand, if the lulav is gozel, that isn't the issue about the lulav itself. That's an outside issue, that it was stolen, that affects the lulav. And therefore, the Gemara assumes that we should differentiate between hadar, which I could understand, a lulav hayovish is possible for all 7 days, and a lulav hagozel should only be possible for the first day. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon Beit Yochai, that the reason it's a lulav hagozel may not be used is mishum dehavlei mitzvah ba ba'aveira. The concern here is that it's a mitzvah ba ba'aveira. It was brought through a geneva, and the loch is that anything that was brought through, done, that was received through a aveira, is disqualified. Shenema, as the pasuk says, ve'aveisem as a gozel v'sepeseach v'secholo. The pasuk speaks about bringing a carbon. And the Torah speaks about bringing something which is stolen. Pesach is something that's missing a leg, and chayil means a sick animal. Says the Gemara, gazel dumi de pesach. The Torah is comparing a stolen animal to an animal which is missing a leg. Ma pesach les leitakanta. Just like an animal missing a leg cannot be repaired, it belongs, it's possible forever. Af gazel les leitakanta. So to an animal which is stolen cannot be repaired, cannot be used as a carbon. Loishno lifnei yush, v'loishno l'achi yush. It makes no difference before the owner abandoned it or after. Because as we explained, that the owner abandoning, despairing to hope to have this item anymore, makes it the ganifs. Says the Gemara, bishlam lifnei yush. I could understand before the owner abandoned the animal, that the animal is carbon, that the animal cannot be brought as a carbon. Because Adam Kiyak Mekemam Rachmana. The Torah says that the animal has to belong to the person bringing it. V'labdi Dehu. Because since the owner hasn't given up hope about this animal, it still belongs to him. I can't bring someone else's animal as a carbon. El Alach Yiyush. If the owner gave up hope, why can the thief not bring it? Hakanya b'yish, it's his. Elo, what's the reason? It must be that the issue here is it's a mitzvah b'aveira, and we're learning from there that any mitzvah any item that's brought through an aveira cannot be used. Tosfos asked the question that now we're going to learn later in the perek on Daf Mem Gimel that lulav hagozel is possible, certainly on the first day, because the Torah says lochem. Ask Tosfos, why do I need a limud of lochem It should be possible on the first day because it's a mitzvah of avar b'aveira. So the Vilna Gaon answers. The Orchis Chaim, he says that the issue of mitzvah avar b'aveira only applies to the thief himself. So now it's very geschmack. If the entire problem would be mitzvah avar b'aveira, that would only apply to the thief. But let's say someone else who obtains a stolen lulav, he wasn't the person that stole it, there would not be an issue of mitzvah b'aveira. That's why the Torah had to teach us a separate din of lochem, that he cannot fulfill the mitzvah with a lulav that's stolen. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch says that somebody could fulfill the mitzvah of lulav with a lulav stolen by somebody else on the other 6 days of Yontif. Why? Because there is no issue of mitzvah b'aveira, since I wasn't the thief myself. There are other answers given to this question. One answer given is that what would be by lulav that's hefker. So there is no problem of mitzvah b'aveira, but there is a concern of lochem. Or according to the Man d'Amar, which we don't pass in that way, but according to the Man d'Amar, the gezel ha-goy, that one may steal from a goy. If you're not allowed to steal from a goy, but something stolen from a goy is mutter, so there is no problem, mitzvah b'aveira, but it's still not lochem. Another answer given, if the lulav is owned by two partners, but one partner doesn't allow the other partner to use the lulav. There is no mitzvah b'aveira. I haven't done anything wrong here, but it's not lochem because I don't own the whole lulav and my partner is not allowing me to use the lulav. Or another example will be, let's say, not only was the yiush, but the person who the lulav was stolen from completely was meichel. He says, I'm meichel, you can have the lulav. So there's no longer mitzvah b'aveira, but it's still not lochem. Another answer is, if there's a question if somebody has a lulav, if he truly owns it. So there is no mitzvah b'aveira here, but there is a concern of lochem. Another example will be that we're going to learn later in the perek that a very common mechanism that's used is in retaining ownership of a lulav if someone doesn't have his own dalaminim, is he takes it on the condition of a matona menas lahachzer. The person takes the lulav, he can't just borrow the lulav from the true owner because it would not be lochem, so he accepts it as a gift with the condition a menas lahachzer, that he will return the lulav to the person who he received it from. And then, the halach, then what happens is, he doesn't actually return it. So, if the issue is mitzvah haba b'aveira, there is no mitzvah b'aveira. He didn't do anything wrong. But if the issue is that he did not, but on the other hand, it's not lochem, because he did not fulfill the condition that he was supposed to. The Rabbi Reuven Grzovsky gives a very lumdish answer. He says as follows. He says, what would be the halacha if somebody takes two lulavim? If somebody takes two lulavim, then we have a problem about toisef. But there's a dip. But what would be the halacha if one of the lulavim is something I stole? So if the issue is that it's not lochem, that I don't own the lulav, so now it's not bal toisef, because a lulav that I don't own is not considered my lulav, and I would not be over bal toisef by taking two lulavim, one I own, one I don't own. But if the issue is only that it's a mitzvah b'aveira, then the lulav is mine, and I would be over bal toisef by taking two such lulavim. The Mefarshim discuss why does the Gemara connect the halacha of of mitzvah haba ba'avera to kabonis and connect that to our concept of lulav. And they say that the Torah is teaching us that a lulav is just like a carbon. And just like a carbon, the purpose of a carbon is to come close to Hashem. The purpose of the bringing the dalal minim is for us to become closer to Hashem. And if somebody brings a lulav, he is furthering himself from Hashem, that a lulav that's stolen, and therefore it's a disqualified lulav. Continues the Gemara. V'om Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Ma'idik siv. The pasuk says, Keni Hashem, Oyhei Mishpat, I love justice, Soine Gezla Be'oila, and I despise robbery in a carbon oila. Mashal Melech Bas V'dom, Shayoyvel Beis HaMeches, referring to a king who is passing a toll booth. Amalem Tenu Meches L'Mochsim. So he tells the servants, pay the toll. Amalem, so the servants tell him, "Valoi kol hamechus kul shalchahi. You own the entire toll anyway. So what's the point of you paying the toll?" Amlem mimenu yilmadu kol ivrei drachim. For me, all the people who travel shall learn v'lo yirvichu atzmem hamechus, and they will not seek to avoid paying toll. Af Hakadosh Baruch Hu Omer, so too says Hashem, Ani Hashem soine gozer ba'oila, I despise a carbon that's brought through theft. V'meni yilmedu banai, my children should learn from me, v'evrich atzma min hagezel, and they should not bring a carbon that's stolen. So the Mefarshim ask, the Aruch Haner discusses what's the limud specifically of a carbon oila. So the Aruch Haner says like this. What the Pasuk is teaching us, what the Gemara is teaching us, is that perhaps one would think that if I bring a carbon from which the owners or the Kohanim have a right to eat a shear, certainly I have no right to bring that carbon for myself. I'm stealing from them because they are deserving a portion of those kabonis, and by me taking, I'm stealing from them. However, a carbon oila, which is completely brought in the Mizbeach, and it completely goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one would think, what's the difference if I bring such a carbon, or somebody else brings the carbon? It's going completely to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anyway. Teaches us the Pasuk, Ani Hashem, Soine Gezel Ba'ayla, I despise Gezela under all circumstances. Tosfos asks the question. The Gemara Masechet Pesachim says that somebody who eats matzah of tevel we know are produce from which the trumas and maisrus were not removed, he's not yoitz mitzvah matzah. So ask Taisvis, and the Gemara brings a drasha to teach us that. Ask Taisvis, why do I need a drasha to teach us that you're not yoitz with that carbon, of with that matzah, it's a mitzvah baba veira. So the answer that's given to this question is a very fundamental concept in mitzvah baba avera. Mitzvah baba avera only applies to when the avera makes the mitzvah happen. For example, in our Gemara, I don't have a lulav. If I chas v'shalom go and I steal a lulav, then I am over the that made me be able to be mekayim the mitzvah, and that's why we have a concept of mitzvah baba avera. On the other hand, when we're dealing with matzah shel tevel, so the matzah shel tevel, the tevel is not what makes me have the ability to have the matzah. The matzah is matzah anyway, and therefore there is no problem of mitzvah haba baavera. This Tosfos Emes gives another answer to Tosfos' question. The Tosfos Emes says that there are shittas that hold that if somebody eats matzah shloi kederech achilasoi, not in the normal manner of eating, he still yoitza mitzvahs matzah. However, as far as geneva and as far as any other concept, it's not considered a mitzvah baba avera because it wasn't eaten in a normal fashion. So says the Tosfos Emes, that would be the example here, where somebody ate the matzah shloi kederech achila, mitzvah matzah, he would have been mekayim, but not but it would not be a proud mitzvah ba'al ve'aver because he didn't eat it in the normal fashion. That's why we need a special pasuk to teach us that still you're not mekayim mitzvah matzah when you ate the matzah shel tevel. The same halacha would be if somebody was sick, that the halacha is that he's allowed to eat tevel. And let's say such a person ate matzah shel tevel, so since he's sick, it's the same concept. Aruch Lener explains it this way, so perhaps I would be yoytze mitzvah matzah. There's no mitzvah ba'aveira, I'm eating it because I'm sick, and when I'm sick, I'm allowed to eat mitzvah, even tevel. That's why there's a special limit to say that we're not mekayim the mitzvah with matzah shel tevel. The Sefer Chassidim, based on this Gemara, speaks in a very strong fashion, and he says that if somebody owes money to someone else, or he should be extremely careful not to give tzedakah, not to buy sfarim, because our Gemara is teaching us about a mitzvah baba avera. What kind of mitzvah could this be if I owe money to someone else and I'm still giving tzedakah? And Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Gris Moshe, along the same lines, speaks very strongly about yeshivas being very careful in the government funds they received, should be received only in the most honest fashion, because what kind of limud Torah could take place in a yeshiva where the funds were not received in the most honest fashion? In fact, there's a very interesting Tshuvas HaRambam that the Rambam discusses, that there was a moil in a certain city, that he was the person that was always asked to be the moil. He was a poor person, and this was his parnasa. And there was another person who was a wealthier person, and he wanted to do the mitzvah smila. And any money he received for the mitzvah smila, he would always give to tzedakah. And this wealthy moil took the opportunity to do a mila, and did not allow the poor moil, who was really the town's moil, to do the mila. And he went and he gave the money to tzedakah. So the Rambam says nobody needs such tzedakah money. Money that's received through hurting other people is money that's received through a mitzvah baba avera and is unacceptable. The Mefarshim discuss that our Gemara brought the example of the king who pays toll, that this teaches us the halacha of dina de malchusa dina. The one has to follow the government, the laws of the land. And of course it doesn't only apply to a king. Any set tax, any set law has to apply. And Ramah says that it doesn't only apply to regarding the obligation that one has to pay his taxes. It applies to all laws of the land one has to follow. However, the Paiskim do discuss that if the laws of the land are such laws that discriminate specifically against Jews, then the laws of the land do not have to be followed. Any other situation, the laws of the land have to be followed. The Bnei Yisachar in the Sefer Agra Dekalo says, the Torah itself teaches us this concept of mitzvah baba avera and how careful one must be to avoid stealing anything. He said, because the Torah begins, we know the first Rashi in the Torah discusses that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and Rashi says the Torah begins with that concept rather than beginning with mitzvahs like the mitzvah of the first mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem, because the Pasuk wants to teach us that the entire world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to give what to whom. Why did the Torah begin with this mitzvah, explains the Bnei Yisachar? To teach us that we receive that Yisrael not through Gezeila. Because as we're learning in our Gemara, anything that's received through a mitzvah baba avera is totally unacceptable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the first concept taught in the Torah is that there is no Gezeila. The Meshech Chachma points out that the only place that we find in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells somebody to build a Mizbeach is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu to build the Mizbeach after his children killed the people of Shechem. Explains the Meshech Chachma. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Because people might have accused Yaakov Avinu and his family that they stole from the city of Shechem, and what they had was not their own property. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu, build a Mizbeach and bring your Kabbonis on the Mizbeach, and those Kabbonis will be accepted by me. That is the proof that you're not a Ganif, because if you were a Ganif, I would never accept Kabbonis that are stolen, and I certainly would not ask you to bring such Kabbonis. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov, build a Mizbeach, and that will be a proof that you did not steal anything. The Ora Chaim explains, the Pasuk says, in b'chukosai teilechu ves mitzvosai teshmeru. So he explains that kabbonos are called chukah. The Pasuk says, chayk oilam, chukas oilam. Says the Ora Chaim, the Pasuk is teaching us, in b'chukosai teilechu, if you want to bring a carbon, you have to be careful that the karbon was brought through shmiras mitzvahs, that chas v'shalom you didn't steal anything from anyone else, because if you stole something from someone else, such karbonos are not karbonos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Continues the Gemara. Itman Ami, Omer of Ami, Yovish Posel, a dried out lulav is posel, it's not beautiful. Gazel posel b'shem davalei mitzvah ba'aveira, and therefore it may not be used on any of the days of Yontif. So according to Rav Ami, both a lulav ha-yovish or a lulav ha-gazel is posel for the entire duration of Yontif. Or pligid Rav Yitzchak, but this is in disagreement with what Rav Yitzchak said. Dam Rav Yitzchak ben Nachmeni o Mishmul lo yishanu el b'yontif rishon, only on the first day of Yontif does he hold that you're not allowed to use a lulav hagozel. Abu Yontif Sheni, on the other days of Yontif, mitoch shiyotze b'shol, just like you could use the borrowed lulav, yotze nami b'gozel, you could also use a stolen lulav. Ask Tosfos, what will Rabbi Yitzchak do with the concept that we just learned of mitzvah abo ba'aveira? So says Tosfos, that since on the other days of Yontif, as we began today's shir, we know that the chiv of taking a lulav on those days is only drabonon. By a mitzvah, where there's only a chiv drabonon to do that mitzvah, there is no concept of mitzvah habar b'aveira, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Ask the Gemara, Moser Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, on Rav Nachman Yitzchak asks on the sheet that we just learned from Rabbi Yitzchak, it said in our Mishnah, lulav ha-gozel v'yavesh posel, that is stolen or dried out lulav is puzzle. Hashol, so it seems to say that our Mishnah is teaching us that a borrowed lulav is kosher. Amos, on with exactly regarding which day of Yontif is our Mishnah talking? Ilayim be Yontif Rishon, if our Mishnah is referring to the first day of Yontif, haksiv lachem, the pasuk says lakach lachem, that we have to use our own, and therefore Mishalachem, it has to be ours. V'haylav dedehu, a borrowed lulav is not my lulav, so I cannot use a lulav hashol. Elalav, it must be that our Mishnah is talking about Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni here means not the first day Yontif. Yet it says V'ktani gozel posel. Our Mishnah is saying that you can't use a gozel. So it's a questioner of Yitzchak who said that you're allowed to use a lulav hagozel if it's not the first day Yontif. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava lo'olam b'yontif rishon. Our Mishnah is talking about the first day Yontif. And the way to understand the Mishnah according to Yitzchak is in this fashion. It goes to, without saying that you can't use a borrowed lulav, the lavdidehu. It doesn't belong to yours. And as we just learned, the Torah says, the lulav has to belong to you. Avol gozel. Eimastam gzeli yishbalim. We should assume that the owner gives up, despairs, he abandons hope of receiving the lulav, and therefore k'dedei dami, as we began this year also saying that after the owners have yiush, the item becomes the thief's, and therefore it becomes the thief's property and it should be able to be used because it's not a problem with lochem kamash malon. That's why the Mishnah teaches us that it may not be used. Why? So Rashi explains, because we cannot assume that Yush is automatic in the case of robbery, and even though, as Rashi explains, we're dealing here with a situation of gzela, and gzela means that the person who the item was stolen from saw the item being stolen, and were he able to prevent it from happening, he would have prevented it from happening. Just he couldn't. So we should assume that there's yush. Teaches us Rashi, we can't always, that the Gemara is teaching us that we cannot always assume that yush took place, and therefore it's possible. That's why it cannot be used, because it's a problem with lechem. But we differentiate, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, between the first day and the rest of Yontif, because the rest of Yontif, there is no chiv deraisa. Tosfos takes a different approach to the Gemara. Tosfos says that the reason Rabbi Yitzchak agrees that the lulav hagozel may not be used on the first day, even though we're sure that there was yush, and especially after we just explained that we're dealing in a situation of gzela, where the person saw the item being stolen, and he couldn't stand in the way of the gazlan. That means he gave up hope, because if he could have stood in the way, he would have stood in the way. So there was certainly yush. But Tosfos explains the difference between the first day and the rest of Yontav is because the first day, the chiv to take the lulav, the chiv to take the dalaminim, is a chiv deraisa. Rabbi Yitzchak will agree that with the chiv deraisa, we apply the concept of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. It's only on the rest of Yontif where the chiv to take the dalaminim is only midrabanan, where Rabbi Yitzchak will not apply the concept of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. There is a halacha that's mentioned many times in Shas. Karka eina nigzelis. Property cannot be stolen. That even if there's yush, even if the owners gave up hope of ever receiving the property that was stolen from them back, that doesn't make it become the property of the gazel. Says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Huna l'hanei avankri. Rav Huna used to say to the people who were merchants that would sell the dalaminim, kizavnisu asam av dikachovim. When you buy hadasim from non-Jews to use as the hadassim for the dalaminim, loy tigzizu atim, you should not be the ones to cut the trees yourself, el ligzizu inhu, let the goyim be the ones to cut it, v'yav luchu, and they will give it to you. My tama, why did he tell him to do it this way? Says the Gemara, because he holds tam av dikachovim gazli arasin inhu. We have to assume that this land was stolen. And as we just said, karka and an exelis. Karka cannot be stolen. It always remained the original owner's property, even after yish. So if it's still attached to the ground, the tadasim belong to the original owners, not to the people who are selling it. So if you cut them from the trees, you therefore will be stealing it, and you cannot use these hadassah for mitzvah, because it'll be a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. So therefore, he tells them, hilkach l'gzizel inu, let the goyim cut the hadassah from the trees, k'heich d'lahavi yish b'aylam b'yadayidat hu, therefore there will be yish while it's still in the hands of the goyim. And as Tosfos explains, the issue in our Gemara is not that there wasn't the yish. Of course there was yish. The issue, however, in Al Gemara explains Tosfos, is that the yush is ineffective, because yush cannot affect something that is not able to be stolen. But once the hadassim are cut from the tree, so now they are no longer karka, they're already metatlin, and the yush that's here from before, from when the owners despaired ever receiving this karka back, is effective, and therefore it will not be a problem. So kiyecha d'laver yush b'aylam b'yadadat hu, will have yush while it's still in the hands of the goyim, v'shinu shas, and then when it goes into your hands, there will be a change of ownership from the goyim to you. And Rashi explains, our Gemara, Rav Huna holds, not like the Gemara in Amud Aleph, that said that yush alone is adequate, that it should become the property of the recipient or the thief, it's a, you have to have yish and shin rishus. So here, the goyim cutting it will have both yish, the yish that's here from before will become effective, and shin rishus when it goes from the goyim to the hands of the Jews, and it's no problem. The Rishonim discuss that we should still have an issue that it's not lochem; it doesn't belong to you. So the Rishonim explain that there is no issue of lochem because it's not for sure that this property was really ever stolen. So if we have all of these additional safeguards, we don't have to be worried about lechem. Furthermore, we don't have to be worried, and Rishonim explain, under the circumstances of a mitzvah above ba'aveira, because again, we're not certain that this property was ever really stolen. So we want to be 100% sure that it shouldn't be hadasim hagzulim, but we don't have to go any further in assuming that it was a mitzvah above ba'aveira. And as Fasem as Taka takes this concept a line further, that how do we know? We're assuming that there was yish, and the entire concern was that the yish wasn't effective because karka in an exelis. Ask these Fasemis, and how do we know that there was yish? So he explains that since we don't know for sure the property is stolen, so we could assume, number one, that perhaps the property wasn't stolen. And even if we'll be concerned that the property was indeed stolen, then we could assume that there was yush. Continues the Gemara. Saif Saif asked the Gemara, why do we have to go through this entire procedure? Kigazu avankri, when the merchant themselves cut the hadassah from the trees, laviyush ba'ilim biyadayu, we have yush when they have the hadassim in their hands, because as we said, as soon as the hadassim become a taplin, as soon as the hadassim become detached from the tree, the yush is effective. And then when they give or sell the hadassim to us, there is shini rishus, v'shini rishus biyadon. And even according to Rav Huna, who requires that we have to have both yush and shini rishos, we will have yish shini rishos. Answers the Gemara, lo tzrich v'shan da'avankri gufayu. You're right. For the hadassim that we want to use, that would be an acceptable procedure. But the merchants themselves want to use these hadassim, and these hadassim that the merchants want to use have yish and shini rishos. So even if we have the yish, we don't have the Shini, we don't have the shini rishos. Ask the Gemara, v'lekniu b'shini maisa. The aloch is, they were supposed to tie the dasim and the rovis and the luluf together. So, as we learned at the beginning of this year, even the man d'omer that says the yush alone is not enough, the aloch is, you have to have yush and something else. So, either yush and shini rishos is going to affect the transfer, or yish and shini maisa. So yes, for the merchants themselves, there is no shini rishos, but there is a shini maisa. They're tying the hadassim, the lulav, and the arovas together. And so the Gemara kasavar, this man dama holds lulav loy tzarch eged. It doesn't have to be tied together, and since it doesn't have to be tied together, it's not considered a maisa. Ask the Gemara, says the Gemara, Vim Tim Tzulayman, even if you'll hold the lulav tzorech eged, that it does have to be tied together, so then you have a shinui maisa. Says the Gemara, this cannot be considered a shinui maisa. Shinui choyza lebriyasehu, this is a shinui that can be easily turned back, you just have to untie it, and therefore, that's not, v'shinui choyza lebriyasehu, a shinui that goes back so easily, loy shmei shinui, is not considered a shinui maisa. Ask the Gemara, but there's another type of shinui. There's a shinui Hashem, and that coupled with the yush should make it effective. Says the Gemara, why the mikara havali asa? At the beginning, it's just called a plain twig for hashta. Now that we're using it for the mitzvah dalaminim, it's called a hoshana. Says the Gemara, Mikar Nami La Asa Hashana Karalei. People call an Asa, people call a myrtle twig Hashana. And therefore, there really wasn't any Shinu Hashem that should affect Kinyan. The Shulchan Aruch says that one should be careful not to cut a ravis from a field that belongs to a guy. Because since the field belongs to a guy, we should be concerned that perhaps the guy stole the field, and there would be a problem of mitzvah baba aveira, especially if you want to use those aravas for yourself. The Paiskim discuss further that even if technically it's not a mitzvah baba aveira, where we have no reason to assume that this field was stolen, these aravas or adasim or lovin was stolen, one has to be extremely careful to buy the item in no fashion that there should be an aveira involved. Because Mepharshim explained, even if we don't technically have a situation a mitzvah baba aveira, we still want to make a bracha on the dalaminim. And the pasuk says, "Ein zeh mevarech el menatz," that one can never make a bracha if there's any hint of aveira involved in the item being used for a dvar mitzvah, even if there was yush, even if it was a shina rishus, even if it was a shina maisa. And therefore one should be extremely careful that in the dalaminim he buys, you should be sure that the person you buy it from received those dalaminim in the most trustworthy manner, and you bought it in the most trustworthy manner, that they should certainly be worthy of the bracha on the mitzvah.